Good morning, everyone. I'm Jihao Shen, and today I'm going to present our work on secure computation over large circuits. And this is a joint work between Ben Kreuter, Avi Shila, and myself. Secure two-party computation is a classic problem that two parties, Alice and Bob, they each have their own input, X and Y, and they want to collaborate on computing a function such that after the computation, Alice gets f of xy and Bob gets g of xy, and neither of them gets more information than can be deduced from their input and output. This is a very interesting question, and if there's when we have a solution for it, a lot of interesting things could happen, like peer. Peer could be an application for it where Alice has the query and Bob has the database. This question was formulated by Andrew Yao in the 80s, and at first his formulation is a semi-honest security where both parties are assumed to behave honestly, but they might be curious and to deduce more information from the data they have collected during the computation. Later, GMW formulate the malicious notion where either Alice or Bob is allowed to cheat in an arbitrary way. This notion is conceivably a stronger notion than the semi-honest one, and our work focuses on this malicious notion. The main goal of our work is to establish feasibility of secure two-party computation. We demonstrate protocols and tools for securely evaluating very large circuits. We have the fastest semi-honest implementation that can handle around like 400,000 gates per second. And most importantly, we show that although malicious security is a much stronger notion than the semi-honest, in certain environments, the overhead between these two notions is insignificant. As a consequence, our malicious system is also the fastest. I mentioned the proper environment. This environment is the parallel computing. We believe that future architecture is going to be massively parallel, so this environment is not unrealistic. And to put this thesis in formal way, we say that with the number of cores and bandwidth linear to the security parameter, achieving malicious security comes at the cost only 1 plus epsilon of the time overhead over the semi-honest security. And this time overhead is in terms of a wall clock. Before I proceed with our work, I want to have some background. A standard technique to achieve malicious security is from a semi-honest solution, and both participants are enforced to behave honestly. Our work starts from Yao's garbled circuit, so I'm gonna talk a little bit about it. Yao protocol has two parts. The first is the oblivious transfer, and the second is the circuit gobbling. I'm not gonna go into the detail of the oblivious transfer. Let's think of it as a black box. In this protocol, Alice enters a pair of keys while Bob enters a bit. After the computation, Bob will get the one exactly one of the keys that Alice has, but Alice has no information about Bob's bits. And this is the protocol we will be need. And the second part is the circuit gobbling. The high level is that one party, say Alice, she generates a gobbled circuit, and the circuit is sent to the Bob for him to evaluate. In particular, Alice generates at first, Alice assigned two random keys to each wire. They are 0 key and 1 key, and in particular, the input key for the oblivious transfer is assigned to Bob's input wire. Next, Alice gobbled the truth table as follows. The key for the output wire is doubly encrypted by the corresponding input keys according to the truth table. For example, to encrypt the we use the one key from Alice's input wire, one key from Bob's input wire to encrypt the one key of the output wire. So when you get one key from each of the parties, you will get one key of the output wire. That's like evaluating this gobble circuit in an oblivious way. For example, Bob well gets the his input key. When Bob gets the gobbled truth table, he can use the key he had from the oblivious transfer, and Alice's input key that comes with the gobble circuit, and he identify the he locate the right entry and decrypt that entry to get the corresponding output key. So this is the high level idea of Yao's gobble circuit. During the course of our project, we have encountered two major challenges. The first is to handle large circuits. When a circuit comes to billions of gates, it is hard to fit the whole circuit in memory, and that would incur a lot of I/O weight and hurts the performance. The second challenge is that we have to speed up the protocol itself, and to do so, we have both designed efficient subprotocols and incorporated various state-of-the-art techniques. And I'm gonna elaborate on these two challenges. The first published implementation of secure two-party computation, Fairplay, came out in 2004 by MNPS. Their work included a compiler. This is a proof of concept compiler that is not designed to be scalable. So it is good they can turn the high-level language into circuit, but the size of circuit is seriously restricted. For example, to compile a 30,000 gate circuit, it takes at least 48 gigs of memory to do the job. It is not until last year that the first work dealing with billions of gates was presented by HEKM. However, their approach avoids the use of compiler entirely and requires a lot of hand optimization. We noticed this lack of a good compiler, and we were able to resolve the situation by introducing our own, which uses resources more wisely. Our compiler has several features. It takes a high-level programming language as input, it generates a correct circuit at first pass and followed by several optimization passes that reduce the size of the output circuit and by removing redundant gates. In particular, our compiler favors XOR gates, and the reason will be clear in just a moment. Our compiler is capable of generating a variety of circuits. For example, AES, dot product, RSA encryption, or AD distance. The scale of these circuits could go all the way up to billions of gates. And we need to be reminded that this compilation is only a one-time cost. Once a circuit is generated, it can be used over and over again. And at the bottom, we compare our compiler with Fairplay compiler. We use much less resources, including memory and time. With the same hardware, in this case, an Amazon EC2 high memory instance, the biggest circuit we were able to generate with the Fairplay compiler has only 50,000 gates, and by our compiler, we can generate a circuit that has 6 billion gates, which is 100,000 times bigger. Let's look at the progress in performance. Since Fairplay was presented, many milestones have been achieved. Substantial progress has been made. LP07 and PSSW09 was the first work that has malicious security, and our own work, SS11, were able to push that performance a bit further, and so was the NNOB work. The HEKM work presented last year in Usenet security was the state of the art in semi-honest implementation, and at the bottom is the performance of our system as of today. Our protocol, based on Yao's approach, has incorporated many state-of-the-art techniques regarding the security and performance issues. Starting with the cut and choose technique. This technique prevents the generator from providing malicious circuits and by using many copies of the garbled circuits. The input consistency check is to prevent the generator from providing inconsistent input to all different copy of the garbled circuits. The selective failure attack is a subtle attack that could happen in oblivious transfer, and we also have to take care of it. The output authentication proof ensures that the evaluator will not be able to trick the generator into accepting arbitrary outputs. These are all about security. And another issue with Yao circuit is the communication size. For example, a circuit with a billion of gates to achieve a security level to the 2 to the negative 80, it requires 40 gigabytes to be exchanged for the YAS protocol. And so we have to do something to reduce this communication costs. Most importantly, we use the free XOR technique that eliminate the communication cost for XOR gates and minimize its computation costs. The garbled row reduction helps to present the garbled circuit in a more compact format, and the redundancy checking helps to provide the trade-off between communication and computation. This, I'm not going to the details of these techniques, but they can be found in the paper. The most important technique that we have used is to exploit the embarrassingly parallelizable nature of the cut and choose technique. In that technique, Alice and Bob are required to work with many copies of the circuits. Instead of doing them in sequential, each of them just put their program in the cluster and instantiate many copies of the computing nodes to work with together in parallel. I mentioned the KSS thesis at the beginning. Now I'm going to show you why it's true. Here's a quick recap. With sufficiently many cores and sufficiently big bandwidth, the gap between malicious security and semi-honest security is insignificant in terms of time. Say if the baseline Yao has the computation time I plus C, where I is the initial setup and C is the circuit gobbling, our system needs I plus C plus epsilon time to do the same job, only in the malicious model. The communication cost of our system is linear to the security parameter. We call this approach time priority, and later I'm gonna be talking about an alternative that has different property. Alternative approach. So let's go through the Yao protocol very fast. As I mentioned earlier, Yao protocol has two parts, the oblivious transfer and the circuit gobbling. In this figure, the height of the arrow are correlated to the time they needed in each state. As HEKM pointed out that it is unnecessary for the generator to finish generating the whole circuit before the evaluator starts her job. They can actually be done in parallel. Say, evaluator works on a gate while the generator starts working on the next gate. So at each moment, only a very small portion of the circuit resides in the memory that makes dealing with large circuit much easier. If we squish the figure aside and look at the actual experimental results that we have over RSA 256 circuits, which has 900 million gates and 300 million non-XOR gates, we can see that the initial setup time I was talking about earlier is actually for the oblivious transfer, and the huge chunk of time was spent on the circuit gobbling. The bottom is the performance of our semi-honest implementation that I mentioned earlier. Now I'm gonna go through the time priority approach that I was talking about. But in a very high level, say if we look at the figure, again, the size of the arrow are correlated to the time of the spin in the protocol. So the yellow arrows are exactly those steps coming from the semi-honest version, except this time we are running many copies of them in parallel. Since they are totally overlapped, it doesn't incur extra time overhead here. The top two blue arrows are to enforce the same honest behavior of the generator, so that he won't get any advantage while providing malicious circuits, and the top two arrows are just to ensure to do the input consistency check and the output security authentication proof. So let's look at the experimental result again. We can see that the dominant factor in our approach is again the OT and the circuit garbling. The rest of the steps just carry very little weight of the whole circuit. Another alternative approach, the communication priority approach, is that if the communication is more scarce resources than time, then we show that the trade-off is possible. The only with the price that in this case, the generator will have to construct the circuit twice, with the reward that the communication cost is only 40% of the time priority approach. Here's the experimental result for it. Here to sum up, the left two tables shows that achieving malicious security only incurs epsilon time overhead in our case, which shows the soundness of our thesis. And the right table shows that overhead between communication and computation can be possible if necessary. So by the time we submit our camera ready paper in May, we were able to work with 6 billion gate eddy distance circuit with a rate of 200,000 gates per second. Now, we can do more than that, much better than that, either under the communication priority approach or time priority approach. As a future work, we plan to improve our compiler such that the Boolean circuit is generated on the fly rather than being right now our compiler unfolds the loop, which results in a large circuit file. We plan to work on this, and also we've only exploited the circuit level parallelism, and with more degree of parallelization, we can improve the performance even more by the gate level parallelism, and also with the hardware optimizations like FPGA approach. And that's it. I'm ready to take questions.
Any questions? I do have one clarification I wanted to ask. You mentioned that the circuit compilation is a one-time cost.
Yes.
Which, does a compilation include garbling, or is it just a question of transforming it into another circuit?
Just the translation from high-level language to circuits.
I see. So you just have a circuit, and the garbling, of course, you have to do for every...
Yeah, garbling has to be done every single execution.
Thank you. My name is Lior. Thank you for citing our paper. So I didn't plan on asking any question until he asked the question. So I want to point out that and this is not specific to this work, in any implementation of software that would allow you to do secure computation, if you choose to go with the compilation paradigm, what would happen is that someone would write in a high-level language, and then your compiler would take that and, not your compiler specifically, any system that uses compilation. The compiler would take that and produce a circuit, the description of the circuit depends on the size of the input. So for instance, if we want to do, let's say you said private information retrieval is a good example of secure computation, you know, if I want to do a search in a database, the size of the database is part of the input. So the database changes daily, right? Records are added, deleted. So every time we want to do a search on the database, we need to recompile the circuit. And so it means that, this one-time cost is actually not one time. It's every time cost, right? And so this is, I just had to say that because it's not, and it's not specific to your work. It's any compilation technique would have that. So the HEKM paper and VMcrypt that follows that doesn't have those problems. And the other question is maybe if you can say, why do you think that it's so important to have a compiler? Because in VMcrypt and in HEKM, you know, we provide high-level building blocks. Like we have an editor and a multiplier. You can do high-level things with those components too. So why was it important for you to provide a compiler?
I would say that if there's a compiler so that the user can work with the high-level language, the entry barrier for them will be lower. Like if you only provide a library and they will have to go through your code in order to get familiarized with it, I would say the learning curve will be higher.
I see. Okay. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I don't argue that, but I think that, you know, in VMcrypt, you don't have to see VMcrypt's code to write, and you just use Java, so you don't even need to learn a new language. And VMcrypt implementation is completely separate. You write your circuits, you just need to learn four classes, that's all you need, which is, I mean, any API, you need to learn something, so. Anyway, but thank you.
Thanks for your remarks, too.
Yeah, this was great, thanks.
All right, are there any other questions? Hearing none, let's thank Zhihao again.
Thanks.